Giuliani.
I mean, Oklahoma doesn't have a natural recruiting base. I mean, that's why, right. that's why they pilfer Texas and get into the Metroplex as much as possible. Right here in Austin, Texas, with guys like Baker Mayfield and Samaje.
Herman's carrying a sack, man. He's got the sack right now. He's got a
sack. What does that mean?
He's got a sack. He's got a sack. All he does is open up the sack, stick players in his sack. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you're saying.
He's got a sack.
That's not an expression.
It is an expression. My man has a sack right now. Think about it. Hi, recruits. Come here. Jump into my sack. It's over with. It's over with now. I'm a hard, working
man. I got it all. All right, Benny, with you. Glad you're with us. It is final week of June 2017. It's a Monday. That means good, bad, and ugly from your weekend. We'll talk more about Tom Herman's sack coming up. He added another player to that sack.
Oh, also another player jumped in the sack?
Yeah, another one jumped out. We'll get you some details on that. Also, NBA free agency in the air is the silly season about to begin in the association. We've got football on the brain as well, and certainly plenty of baseball. But we'll also start with some golf. Let's get to our headlines. Ticket City Update Desk. BK's back and feeling good. The buck is here. It's going to be about 90 degrees and rainy today. Just scattered rain showers. But let's start this hour, as we do each, with the headlines. Ticket City Update Desk time, and yes, we will start with the golf, and what a roller coaster Sunday for former Longhorn Jordan Spieth at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. He started the day with a two-stroke lead, headed down the back nine with a three-stroke lead, but kind of fell apart down the back stretch. He blew the three-stroke lead, and when they got to 18, he ended up tied with the hard-charging Daniel Berger, went to a playoff on the first playoff hole. First tee, hits the ball into a tree on his tee shot, and then the approach shot into the greenside bunker about 60 feet from the hole. That's when the dramatic Jordan Spieth took over.
Right at it. Right at it. Oh,
Jordan
he's done it again. Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Unbelievable.
Certainly was a chest bump with his caddy, Michael Greller, and that was a flare for the dramatic from Jordan Spieth. He wins his 10th tournament. Becomes the first player to win 10 tournaments before his 24th birthday, not named Tiger Woods.
Hit it right into that bunker, which I told Michael, look, if it goes in where we were earlier, that's fine. And if it carries, then great. And then from there, put the same kind of swing as the other bunker shot. I was just at a little different angle, and it took a little right bounce and a little cut spin, and it took the, you know, rolled with the hill. I jumped up and saw it coming down right on the pin, and I went nuts.
Absolutely. What a end and what a finish. Major League Baseball, speaking of roller coasters, how about those Texas Rangers? They built a 7-0 lead at Yankee Stadium yesterday thanks to long balls from Adrian Beltre. Sinshu Chu and Drew Robinson hit his first Major League home run. Then they had to hold on for a 7-6 nail-biter to take 2 out of 3 on the weekend in the Bronx. Matt Bush punched out Gary Sanchez at the end, and that's how it ends. Texas now heads to Cleveland for 4 games with the Indians. That series opens tonight. Astros, meanwhile, improved to 29-9 on the road this season, posted their 52nd win overall. They beat Seattle 8-2. George Springer, Yuli Gurriel, and Evan Gattis all went yard as Houston wraps up a 6-1 road trip. A.J. Hinch wants to sound out about his bullpen's work yesterday.
They came up with huge inning, to a man. They came in and threw very well. Obviously, it's big to get a series win against these guys on the road the way they've been playing, but we needed all of our guys to step up. The versatility of our pen has been talked about over and over again. It was in full effect today on the field. All those guys came in and did a nice job of stretching themselves to their limitations.
Astros starter Francis Martez only lasted 2 innings in that game, and the bullpen had to take it from there. They did well. Astros take the day off. They open a series back at Minute Maid Park against Oakland on Tuesday night. Round Rock rained out at Del Diamond yesterday. Game with the I-Cubs suspended in the second inning because of standing water and a team travel curfew that meant the I-Cubs had to catch a plane. So they will resume that game when the Express visit Iowa later this week. First up, though, for the Express, they head to Nashville. Open a 4-game series there tonight. 7:05, first pitch right here on the Horn. College baseball down to its final two. They're both from the SEC. LSU facing Florida tonight in game one of the best-of-3 series for the national championship. LSU beat top-ranked Oregon State twice to advance, while Florida eliminated TCU 3-0. 68 days till Tom Herman and his coaching staff coach their first game at the University of Texas, but they continue to make waves on the recruiting trail. This past weekend provided some good and bad news. First, the good: wide receiver Rondale Moore, 4-star prospect and the number one ranked recruit in the state of Kentucky, became the Longhorns' 12th commitment for the class of 2018. When he announced his decision to play for the Longhorns, he was in Austin in the past weekend for that Texas Heatwave pool party. He's one of the fastest players in the class of 2018 across the country. He's been clocked in the low 4.3s in the 40. 10-7 of the 100 meters at Trinity High in Louisville. The Horns also lost a wide receiver recruit as well. Justin Watkins, 4-star player from Clermont, Florida, also announced he is reopening his recruitment, headed into his senior season. Texas recruiting class currently sits at 11 now for the class of 2018. And that's the news from your Ticket City update desk. We'll get more on that situation. I read some clarity on one receiver in, one receiver out for you coming up in our Coach's Corner, Buck. But busy weekend.
Let me ask you guys this. The kid that Texas lost back to Oklahoma, was he any good? Because when he was coming, I would hear people talk about him, you know, websites and people talk about how great he was. And then he was going back, and then all of a sudden he wasn't so good. I mean, what was he? Was he an okay player?
Well, sure.
The big defensive kid?
His name's escaping me. Because he had been committed to Texas and Lincoln. Yes. Riley. Tatum.
Yeah.
Tatum was his name. Yeah, well, he's one of the top prospects in the state of Oklahoma. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of that way with all these players. I don't know. I mean, you know, you've seen the kid from Cibolo Steel, the safety, and think he's...
Oh, my thoughts are he's
right.
Fantastic.
But most of us haven't seen any of these kids play. So you kind of go on recruiting rankings and things of that nature.
But I'm talking about people that know recruiting, you and I. They do it for business.
Well, I mean, I think when he's one of the top players in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay, that's all he needed.
And obviously, when Lincoln Riley got the job, he made him a priority. And he's a defensive end, big, sturdy, you know, frame. We'll see how they pan out, but I think Texas would have loved to have kept him. I think that's fair to say.
Okay, then that's good.
I don't think Texas is going to stop recruiting him.
Even now?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, you can't stop. You don't stop at any guy.
Absolutely. You know, that and it's interesting. And
neither will Oklahoma.
We'll hit that in our coach's corner because there is some insight on these receivers that are swapping out. We'll also preview that college baseball championship. There's some irony there with the Longhorns tonight. But what did you make of Jordan Spieth yesterday? You watched most of it.
I did.
I mean,
I watched it from 9 on.
And that's when he kind of fell apart. He was missing short putts. He was the class of the tournament until the final 9 holes. He was the clubhouse leader Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Looked like he was going to, it really did look like, because Boo Weekly never really got it going yesterday. Boo Weekly shows up in his, looks like a long haul trucker or something with his,
his fishing shirt on.
I know. He looked like he should be on the Big Ugly
down
show.
Down the coast. He was going down the coast fishing afterwards.
I've never seen a golfer show up in like a button down shirt with the flaps in the back.
Yeah, that was a fishing outfit.
He has Magellan shirt. Like, this is Boo Weekly. Now, Boo's the one, remember that somebody dared him to box the orangutan and he got knocked out? Remember that story?
Yeah,
BK's going to have to find
that. We got to find that. That is a hell of a story.
That is a hell of a story. Like
that orangutan jacked him up.
Oh, knocked him cold out. he tells the story, too. So funny. He's got that old drawl, and he was been drinking, and they dared him.
They dared him to get in a ring with the orangutan?
Oh, yeah. And the orangutan just jacked him up. But so he never really made a run. And then it was Daniel Berger, who had won in Memphis a couple of weeks ago. He makes the run, and Jordan just couldn't. It looked for all the world like he was going to give this thing up. I thought we would be coming in here this morning talking about how did Jordan Spieth blow a 3-stroke lead on the back 9. And then he unfortunately ended up in a playoff.
Dude, he's lucky to get to the playoff. When he hit that ball left, and you saw those big trees, and when they said it's back in the fairway, and I mean, it just got back to the fairway. He had a over 220-yard shot to get to the green from where he was. That was a long second shot for him. That ball just made it to the fairway. If that ball just drops down from the trees, he's making 5 or 6.
Yeah, no, it was a very. You've played match play before. I played match play. I mean, you got to think Daniel Berger because essentially you're in a playoff now. Now it's match play to win the tournament, and you got to think Daniel Berger's thinking, oh, sweet,
he's left into the tree.
Oh, he's in the tree.
No, he's not.
Well, now he's in a bunker. I'm good, man. I'm good. And then he holds out from 60 feet, does the chest bump with Michael Greller. That was dramatic. BK, I saw you tweet that. You saw that. You think he was gonna lose this tournament?
I don't know, man. He didn't. He didn't play too well on the back 9. It kind of felt like sort of a recent trend of Jordan Spieth, and people overreact to all this stuff. The dude's only 23 years old, but when he goes through a little bit of a funk, everyone's like, "Well, is he done? Is his heyday behind him?" But
oh, come on!
You saw the greatness of Jordan Spieth yesterday, and that bunker shot, man. Was it Justin Thomas who tweeted it out? He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy goes in, tweets it out, and then sure enough, a couple minutes later, he just drills.
Well, I thought the first one was going in, so you knew.
Well, then the first one was on 18 originally.
Yeah, when I saw the angle he had, I said, oh, this is going to be real, real close. Because for the other kid, he was side hill and had to putt through and make a really nice putt to make a par where he was. He ended up trying to make birdie, but that was going to be tough for him, but where Spieth was, you knew he was. That was an up and down for him. He'd just done it.
Yeah, he'd just done it. They played 18 again in the playoff. And that was a great gallery. You know, that was in Connecticut, but it had the stadium seating. He said he could feel the ground shaking.
Monster gallery.
That was great. When it went in, place went nuts, and Jordan Spieth is a winner for the 10th time.
It was a decent feel there, too.
Oh, it was a real good feel. They put together a good tournament. There's no doubt. It was a pretty stacked field of good golfers, and Jordan, that was the first time he's played that tournament. So now
you
expect to see him back there as the defending champion next year. It's good to see Jordan in the winner's circle.
You know, that first year of his, that dynamic year that he had, the things that he did and the places that he continued to go play because he just felt like he owed it to the people, I think really fried him in year two. It just, he did too much in his first year. He thought that because he was a young guy, he could continue on that pace and play in all those tournaments. And I guess he found out that it was just too much.
Yeah.
Because
his
play showed that.
It did. It did. He lost the driver a little bit. And he was just in a tree, as they say, that year. I mean, he just, the confidence he built at the Masters, winning that green jacket, he just carried it throughout the year and won Player of the Year. But, you know, he's having a nice year this year. We'll see if he can be in contention at the British Open coming up later in July. So Jordan Spieth, the winner on the PGA Tour. That's certainly part of the good on a good, the bad, and the ugly weekend. With that in mind, let's dive into our Coach's Corner just before 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
All right, a couple notes. I'll mention, guys, I read the Kirk Bowles article from the weekend that he wrote about Skip Johnson. It was funny because I told you that I left the station Friday afternoon and drove to Corsicana. My son, 16-year-old, was supposed to play in a baseball tournament. But, of course, drove 3 hours to get washed out and rained out, so we didn't play any games on Saturday because it didn't rain a ton here, but it rained like a you-know-what. Like the Dickens throughout the Metroplex and south of that into Waco. That whole area just got torrential rain. So did the Hill Country. But so it got rained out. But so I'm in Corsicana, and that is the home of Navarro College, where Skip Johnson was the coach for, 10 years and did a great job and really – you know, built his resume as a terrific coach in the state of Texas. That's where he, you know, built relationships with guys like Clayton Kershaw and, you know, Homer Bailey as a pitching guru and a pitching coach. Well, then he gets the assistant job at Texas, and for 10 years was Augie Garrido's top assistant. But a good story. Kirk Bowles did a nice job that he finally has landed the gig at Oklahoma. The kind of theme was, why did it take so long? Because as we said all the time, it seemed like he was going to be the heir apparent to Augie. And Augie's quoted in the article, and he thought for sure Skip would end up the coach, but now he's at OU. So that adds an interesting subplot. I'll also say for David Pierce and his program at Texas, it's interesting that, you know, the final four teams that were in Omaha, Oregon State, LSU, Florida, and TCU, Texas talked in contact with all four of those coaches when they were looking for Augie Garrido's replacement. They talked to Kevin O'Sullivan at Florida, and he was thought to be the front runner.
He was going to be the guy. I remember that, yes.
Paul Maneri at LSU, they reached out to him. Paul Casey at Oregon State. Obviously, Jim Schlossnagel was one of the favorites.
Well, that's the reason why they didn't leave, because they're all there.
It's interesting, because I think that adds maybe some substance to it. They had really good teams coming back, and they knew that, right? I mean, you don't walk away. All four of those teams were 50-win teams. And if Luke and Baker doesn't get hurt, who knows? You know, I mean, that TCU team stacked for the future. But at the end of the day, the story was that Texas didn't offer as much money as most expected they would. That the offer was not so ever. All those guys got raises.
Anytime you get anytime that you're involved with Texas, you get a raise if you go somewhere else.
Well, what I was told was when the job came open, Augie Garrido was making over $1 million. So the idea was that the new coach was going to make a little bit more than $1 million,
of course,
or north of that. But that the offers that came in were not that.
Sounds like they were a lot less than that.
Which people are like, wait a second. Well, so all those coaches, which we just mentioned, and others, you know, UCLA's coach essentially went to their AD and got a raise.
Texas wants me. Okay, yeah. We'll give you a raise.
And by all accounts, those guys would have been interested in the Texas job if the money were right. But, again, all four of those coaches had really good teams coming back and
I'm excited.
Got a raise.
I think they got the guy they wanted to, the guy that they needed to get.
Time will tell. I think David Pierce is it'll be interesting because, you know, Skip Johnson does really well at Oklahoma. Obviously, all these coaches are doing really well. But I think David Pierce showed it in his staff in year one. You're right. They may have found the right coach. But it is funny that all four of those guys are in Omaha and at the College World Series. And two of them, LSU and Florida, will play for the national championship starting tonight. And give credit to LSU to beat that Oregon State team back-to-back nights. Pretty awesome stuff.
Beat them pretty good, too. Didn't they beat them 6-1 one night?
Yeah. Paul Maneri's team is hot, and it's interesting that those two teams, Florida and LSU, tied for the SEC regular season. So they were the top two teams in the SEC, and now they get to essentially play it off. They played in the regular season. Florida took two out of three. at Gainesville. This one will obviously be in Omaha, so we'll see. It's kind of an SEC, all SEC flavor in Omaha. All right, Buck, on the recruiting side of things, we mentioned Tom Herman. I read this, which is interesting, from a Rivals writer who essentially put some substance behind. Texas gets a commitment from this speedster, Rondale White, out of Louisville, Kentucky, 4'3". If you see some film of him, he looks like, Peter Warwick meets Ted Ginn. I mean, I know that's high praise, but it's high school film. But he's one of those like electric fast players. And he's not just fast, he's quick fast.
Just outruns everybody.
He's got like the short shuttle moves.
See y'all.
Really fast. Well, he's small. He's a small kid, 5'9".
If he says 5'9", he's 5'8".
Yeah. Because you say you're 5'10", and you're 5'9"-ish.
I'm basically, 5'9 and 3/4".
Three quarters.
That's bold.
But I was reading this guy named Rob Cassidy, a Rivals.com Southeast analyst, says word, because he covers recruiting in the Southeast, obviously. And the kid Justin Watkins from Florida decommitted on the same day that Rondale White committed, which you kind of feel like there's some relationship there, right? And this guy Rob Cassidy says the deal between Texas and Justin Watkins was that they would take his commitment and not offer another similar player in this class of 2018 as long as Watkins didn't visit any other schools. He says, I think a recent trip to Louisville for Watkins may have broken that agreement, and that's what came to this. So this will be another example of Tom Herman saying, you know what? All right, we had a deal. We weren't going to recruit any more speedy slot receivers in this class. If you don't take any more visits.
Right.
Kid took a visit, and they said, all right, then we're going to go get this kid out of Louisville, Kentucky, Rondale White. So, again, that's it. That's someone's what the chatter is, and it does seem like that it happened on the same day. BK.
Well, Justin Watkins, Texas is the third school he's decommitted from.
Right. Well, that's why if you're Tom Herman, you would say,
well, I don't want to play around with a guy.
Right.
We didn't get
a
guy.
Exactly.
If you're Tom Herman, you almost should be looking around anyways just for the chance that he decommits. But when he breaks a promise or whatever like that, then you've got a pretty solid.
I'm not making no promises to any of these kids. They'll all change on you in 2 seconds. You got to keep on going. You have to keep recruiting guys. Whether you tell them the truth or not, you have to have something that you're still dealing with kids. You can't all of a sudden bang on one kid who hasn't written, you can't write it down. You have to continue to recruit.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do have somewhat of a deal, okay, we're good at the, we want you to be our slot receiver in this class of 2018. We were not going to recruit any others. But yes, if he's already decommitted from, he was at Florida State commitment at one point. So we'll see where he lands. And so Rondale Moore, 4-star prospect, good player. And this one says this, Rondale Moore is 5'8", squats 5'30".
Oh.
530 pounds. That means he squats a lot more than Malik Jefferson does.
So he got loose hips. Is he?
I've never been in the weight room with Rondale Moore.
I'm sorry.
But he's that's the word on the street that according to his background.
A little guy that played at K-State.
Yeah,
it's in the NFL.
And remember, Tom Herman.
Darren Sproles. He's Darren Sproles.
Yeah, Darren Sproles is like 5'6". I mean, that guy is tiny. But
let me tell you, maybe this 5'8" is probably. We'll see.
Remember when Coach Herman went on the radio show down in Houston and said that when they got here, Malik Jefferson couldn't squat his own body weight, which is something that they've looked to address, which alarmed a lot of people on the previous strength and conditioning coach.
Is that true?
That's what he said. I don't know if Tom Herman would.
Oh, no.
That ain't true!
That's what he said.
He can squat his own body weight? I can do that. Come on now.
What did he say, 350? Couldn't squat 3? I don't remember the exact.
My old ass back can do that.
I think he squat his body weight. I think he said 350 pounds or something along those lines.
He should be able to
strength in his legs and his lower half.
It was that he benches more than he squats.
Benches more than
he squats.
That's what it was. Thank you very much.
The eyebrow raising deal.
Bench press more than he squats. So he's strong in his upper body, but here's a kid coming in squatting 530 in high school.
My goodness.
And running 4.3 in the 40. And if you watch some of his film, which is out there, he is electric fast. Slicing through high school defenses. So we'll see. So there's Tom Herman. He lands a receiver and loses one. But as we've said consistently, you'd like to see this. Tom Herman and this staff is showing that before they even coach a game that they can recruit with anybody, that their recruiting class right now ranked 4th overall for the class of 2018. The two quarterbacks, number one running back in the state of Texas, number one linebacker and defensive player in the state of Missouri, and now this is the number one prospect in the state of Kentucky. So they can recruit with anybody.
And I got to believe they'll get two defensive linemen, two.
Well, that's the thing. That's the next thing you'd like to see. It's full of quarterbacks, a running back, a bunch of safeties and defensive backs and receivers. You'd like to see some beef in this class of 2018 moving forward, and I think those are the next thing I think you'll see them address. But be interesting to see.
A lot of secondary kids.
Oh, big-time athletes in the back end. Big time.
In this conference, you need that.
You do. Oh yeah, you got to cover four and five receivers at a time, and but they still need. Sometimes it looks like it, but the Big 12 still is in a 7-on-7 league. You still have to play at the line of scrimmage, and Tom Herman wants to be the most physical team in the conference.
It's still run first.
Sure it is. Well, that's Tom Herman's offense. I mean, it is run first, no doubt about that. All right, B&E on the horn. We'll take your thoughts. 447-3776, also on the Specs text line. This says, why is everyone convinced David Pierce is the right guy? He had 11 draft picks and can't get out of the first round.
Because it was his first year with somebody else's players, for one thing.
Well, I thought...
If you come in here with somebody's players and you do what they did and what they did with the errors, the basic fundamentals of baseball.
From 80 errors to 32, dramatic difference in the fundamentals of the game. I think that's right. Fair to say. The attention to detail was terrific. But look, what David Pierce inherited was a team that didn't hit very good. And what they were this year was a team that didn't hit very good. I don't know if that's about the coaching or that's about the players that were in the lineup. You still have to put the best players on the field, but they didn't have a lot of dynamic bats in that lineup. Casey Clemens would get hot for a stretch and could carry that team a little bit. We told you the stat all year. When they could score four or more runs, they won almost every time.
And you said physically they didn't look like some of the teams that they played against. You've seen big baseball teams.
Well, yeah,
they
you
didn't
saw a
look
matchup
that
way. With TCU and Texas Tech for sure. They just looked smallish, and they started a lot of young guys, so I think that's what you build around coming back. But I like the energy of David Pierce. I like I like what I saw in year one. But obviously, he was not the first choice of a lot of Texas fans. They wanted a Kevin O'Connell from Florida. They wanted Pat Casey from Oregon State. That's Texas baseball. They expect a huge name, a guy that has national championships on the wall to take over the program, like Augie Garrido was when he took over for Cliff Gustafson.
Oh, hell, what can you imagine if this guy didn't have a decent year like he had? What people would have thought? I mean, if he'd have come in here and the team would have been just a wee bit better, but not as good as they actually were this year?
Yeah, this team was 25-32 last year with the same roster plus more pro players. And I saw this tweet last night from Kendall Rogers, who writes for D1 Baseball. Texas went from number 207 in defense in 2016 and fielding percentage to number 4 in the country in 1 year.
Yeah,
it's a pretty positive
uptick
in year one.
I would say.
Yeah, I'd say
well,
so.
We gave you the number right after the Long Beach State loss. I mean, they had two chances to win one game to punch a ticket to the Super Regionals, which they didn't do because they made some mistakes and they didn't hit the ball at all in those final two games. And I think the pressure got to them a little bit. But if you look at their record against teams that the good teams, it was a talent issue. It was a basic talent issue. When they played teams that hosted Super Regionals, they didn't win. They got swept by Tech. They got swept by TCU. They didn't match up.
But on Tuesdays, they weren't getting beat by the chumps like they used to.
And they
to
beat
either.
Everyone else. I mean, their winning percentage against the rest, the teams that were...
You're supposed to beat.
Well, that they were even with or a little better, they were terrific. Which tells me that wasn't a coaching issue. That was a well-coached ball club.
Yes.
They just don't hit very good. They just don't have very good hitters in their lineup, and they need better hitters. And that comes, and Augie Garrido had the same thing. Augie Garrido had a bad hitting team, and they couldn't play defense, which made it a 25-32 team. The coaching side of it was, hey, this team got a lot better in their weakest areas, and you can't just snap your fingers and make guys
better. I don't think you can do that with guys you don't even know. I mean, kids, you just walk in there, and they're your kids.
But here's what I'll say about David Pierce, and then we'll cut to the break here and wrap up our coach's corner. What I'll say is this. We said the same thing about Shaka Smart after year one. They're very similar. When Shaka Smart took over for Rick Barnes, it was a bunch of Rick Barnes players, right? They had 7 or 8 senior, a bunch of upperclassmen, and we all had the same narrative. He got the most out of that group. The expectations weren't that high because Rick Barnes got let go because they were not a very good team.
It wasn't Charlie's first year's best year?
Well, Charlie's first year was his best, but Shaka's kind of mirrors Pierce. Pierce came in. 11 draft picks, bunch of upper-class guys, and they played really well. They played better than they had, got more out of it with a team with low expectations. The future's now. I mean, what does he come back with? I mean, Shaka Smart year two, we know what happened. They were a 12-win basketball team. So we'll see what David Pierce can do because now he does have to go out and recruit his own guys, and that's one of the things that Texas liked about David Pierce is his ties in the recruiting aspect of Texas. He knows everybody in this state. He knows the high school coaches. He knows the select coaches. He knows talent, and he's done that at Rice and wherever he's been. So we'll see. Now he gets to go out and bring in his first recruiting class, and we'll see where it goes. All right, there's your coach's corner. We'll take your thoughts on that. Tom Herman, his recruiting class, and of course the College World Series tonight is an SEC battle between Florida and LSU. We kick it around. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9. It's AM 1260 on a Monday. We stream it on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
And Aaron.
Hope you had a great weekend. The good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday. What'd you see that was outstanding? What wasn't so good? What was just downright ugly? It's kind of ugly. I don't know if you saw this, Buck. The Big Three. You know, Chad and Kevin do the Big Three every hour on their show.
Mm-hmm.
Get you the top stories of the day. But the Big Three launched this weekend. 3-on-3 professional basketball. This was the league started by Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, Ice T, Ice Drink.
It's kind of basketball's version of reality television where all these washed up has-beens go out and play some basketball. No, some of them are Hall of Famers, so there's some pretty big names. But I did see where a couple of them, you know, a little past their prime.
Dude, did Charles Oakley playing that?
Blew their legs out. Yeah. Yes, Charles Oakley's on a roster, I believe. Allen Iverson, obviously, is probably the biggest name.
Oh, some of those dudes are going to get hurt.
But Jason Williams, I think it was Corey Maggette, both, like, blew their wheels out. Like, you know, they're older guys. They go out there, haven't played.
Didn't Jason Williams hurt himself before? No. That's white chocolate.
White chocolate. Yeah. White chocolate. So, you into this? You're going to be watching this?
Oh, I'll watch some of it. I got to see when Iverson plays, for sure.
BK, you in? You in for some 3-on-3 hoops?
Yeah, I'm looking
for something. They got a 4-point shot in this.
4-point shot.
Yeah, they have a 4-point shot in this deal.
There's some big names in there, though. I'll watch White Chocolate play a little basketball.
Look at the coaches.
Charles Oakley's actually a player coach.
So is Jackie Moon? Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson's a player coach, too. Gary the Glove Payton. George the Iceman Gervin's a coach. Clyde the Glide.
Julius Erving?
Yeah, Dr. J. Come on,
God,
man.
Must be
big names, man.
Sad times when you're doing that.
Was Vince Young in that league,
Vince
too?
Young
talk about
play.
Washed up.
He pulled
been.
His hamstring. Yeah. Pulled his hammy. Look at that. Chauncey Billups is in this league. Isn't he supposed to become the new president of the Cavaliers?
How's he going
to
do both?
I don't know. Is he going to wear a bunch of hats? But, yeah, a bunch of...
Rashad Lewis? He was a baller.
Steven Jackson. Right? Dwayne O'Neal. Kenyon Martin. Yeah, they got some names.
Wait a minute. I see Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Out of Georgia Tech, man. Lefty. Smooth lefty. I don't know. I'm probably not going to watch. Now, you can decide if that's good, bad, or ugly for you. I'll also say this.
I'm not buying jerseys. If it's on, I'll watch.
It's on Fox Sports, I believe. Fox Sports 1.
Heck, I watched Canadian football on Friday.
Yeah, well, we were hoping to, but it was going to be at a watch party for Vince Young's debut with Saskatchewan. Who lost their opener, by the way, 17.
Yeah, watch the Black Reds or Red Blacks.
Yeah, the Red Blacks. That's
defending that, champs, Ottawa? Right? They're defending champs, Red
Ottawa
Blacks.
Ottawa Red Blacks, they tied the Stampeders.
The Black Reds?
Whatever they are. I watched it. It's just some weird football.
I gotta get these names, man.
Yeah, Red Blacks. But here's interesting. You know, we talk about good, bad, and ugly. NBA free agency gets going next week. It was this time last year when Kevin Durant shocked everyone and, you know, 4th of July a year ago, bolted off to the Golden State Warriors to form that dynamic super team. How about this? I'll just give you the headline. Report. If bought out, Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade are candidates to join the Cavaliers.
How much money do they have to give up for those two dudes?
Well, if they buy them out, because they owe Dwayne Wade's owed, what,
25
million bucks this year?
Yes.
Plus, I don't know if there's years beyond that. Carmelo Anthony is still owed a boatload. We know that. But so the Knicks and the Bulls respectively would buy them out of their contract. They come into some agreement, settlement. But then with all that settlement money in their pockets, I think both would be willing, according to this report, to play for a little less to join the Cavaliers to help LeBron.
That ain't going to work. It still ain't going to work. That's not enough firepower. Old-ass Dwayne Wade.
Come on, man. Carmelo. Dwayne Wade and all these guys.
No, it's not enough.
That's not enough?
No.
I
don't think, is it? Is it, BK? Is that enough with Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron, and some of the rest of
his group?
And Kyrie.
And K-Love.
Is that enough?
God,
I don't know.
They need three or four basketballs on the floor to have a chance.
Oh, Dwayne Wade would be fine, wouldn't he?
Well,
but they already have a guy.
Me and Bron are chummy, so that'd be fun.
Who's going to play defense?
I don't know.
Team.
It just seems ridiculous. But
Melo's not playing any D.
Well, he never has. This says DeJay Johnson plays for the Red Blacks. That's true.
DeJay
made that team. Yeah, remember? We went up there. Yeah, he's playing in the CFL. You might be watching him. So, yeah, we got the Big Three playing 3-on-3 hoops and all-star teams being formed in the NBA.
They have to.
It's just silly.
That's why I'm still shaking my head on Danny Ainge not giving up that pick. That kid from Carolina or Duke or whatever.
Time will
to get
tell.
Butler, that is just the weirdest deal. He must have really. Just don't know why he didn't do that. Why he wouldn't pull the trigger on that deal?
Well, I think he botched that. I mean, time will tell. BK's not as down on Danny Ainge as me. He's looking big picture and down the
road.
You got a chance to land a two-way player who's considered one of the top 12 players in his league.
For 2 years?
For a couple years. He's under contract at a friendly contract. You're going to have to re-sign him at some point, but gosh, dang. I mean, that's you got to start trading some assets to add some superstars. It's a superstars league, and there's no guarantee these young guys or these draft picks will ever turn into superstars. If you know you have a 27-year-old established star player.
27.
And all you got to do is give up the third pick to get him. That was the report. And then Minnesota, of course, turned around and didn't give up a ton to get him. Now he's in Minnesota. I think that's a swing and a miss for Danny Ainge, but we'll see. As we say, time will tell on that because it's a long offseason. If they add Gordon Hayward, they swing a deal for another star. Obviously, things can change.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Butler came and went for them. So there's some hoops. NBA free agency gets it going next week. And they do announce the MVP tonight. They're finally going to get around to handing out the awards for the season. And it's going to be kind of a made-for-TV. Are they doing this all week long, BK? Is it all the awards at once, or is it just one award?
Yeah, no, it's a night special on TNT tonight. Just one night.
So that'll keep you interested. Rookie of the year, coach,
all that. Most approved, all the goods.
All right.
Sixth man, the whole works.
There you go. This is also mentions that former Longhorn John Harris won a Grey Cup with the Red Blacks last year. All these former Longhorns all over the CFL.
Vince should have been there a long time ago.
Yeah, if he'd have gone sooner.
Yes.
By the way, Sports Illustrated has its Where Are They Now?
Yeah, I saw that.
Coming out. VY is going to be featured in that beast.
Really?
We'll learn a little bit more about Vince Young.
Don't they have their butt naked issue out, too?
The body issue, yes. And they've got several covers, including one that features Ezekiel Elliott.
I can't watch clothes. That, man. I can't watch that. I'm sorry.
You don't have to.
I mean,
it's your choice.
Yeah, I know. I can't look at it.
They also have a cover with, I believe, Isaiah Thomas, the point guard of the Boston Celtics, I saw.
I did see something of that. He was sitting on a basketball.
We'll all remember.
It was kind of gross.
Well, I saw him just standing there.
I saw him sitting on a ball.
With no clothes on?
With no clothes on.
Remember, the all-timer was Prince Fielder in the body issue. Big Prince Fielder. What has he done lately?
I think that's the one that turned me off to this body issue stuff. When I saw the Hamburglar, and they did his body.
No,
they were trying to make him look all good. I'm like, no.
He was proud of it.
He was big and beautiful for sure.
Big and beautiful. And now retired.
Now retired with a lot of the Rangers' money in his pocket.
Here's a text on the Specs text line that sums up my thoughts perfectly. Danny Ainge will always be a whiny little punk. That's true. That's absolutely true.
That ain't true.
Stay in your lane.
How much money does Prince Fielder have of the Rangers' money, BK? I know that made you just mad.
Good chunk.
Does he have a lot of money?
Well, he retired, so I don't know if he gets all of it.
He did pretty well over his time.
Tigers are probably still paying him, too.
That's what I mean. That's true.
That sucked. That dang trade. That could have been huge for the Rangers.
Hey, let me mention that, and I retweeted this yesterday when you heard just stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Isn't this the perfect next step for LeVar Ball now that Lonzo is a member of the LA Lakers? WWE working on LeVar Ball appearance for Raw next week in Los Angeles.
Only if he gets in there and dislocates his throat.
Well, it dislocates his throat? Like Roadhouse rip his esophagus out?
Yes, only if that happens.
Didn't
Dalton take the dude's heart out with the grab?
Ripped his throat out.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought he held up his heart and the thing was like still pumping.
That's a different movie.
Oh, it is? Okay. That must be one of the Transformers or something.
Roadhouse, that's when he on the bank of the lake there. Took him out.
One thing I remember is Roadhouse is that sexy scene. Ooh, up in the loft.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dalton. Man. That was a great scene right there.
It's a high quality.
High quality.
It's a high quality film right there. BK, are you going to do for your Wednesday?
You ever going to do one of those?
Yeah. I think you should put Roadhouse on your list. I don't know if it's a sports movie.
You've seen Roadhouse, though.
No, sir.
You haven't
seriously?
Seen Roadhouse?
Dalton?
Roadhouse?
Texas Roadhouse? The steakhouse?
No, not the Roadhouse. I'm the steakhouse fool.
Oh.
Oh, man.
You got to see that. I don't know if that, because BK is doing, Trey and he in the middays are doing a series of.
What's that young lady look like these days?
Kelly Lynch. Her name's Kelly Lynch, I believe, if I remember right. But we'll look that up.
You need to look her up, yes.
Okay, we'll do that. It says Vince Wilfork was on the body issue last year, too.
Oh.
Big Vince Wilfork.
He was in cutoff jeans, though. He's always in, like, overalls cutoff. They don't let him really go
naked.
He's
a country boy. Country boy. All right. So, yeah, Roadhouse you should put on your list. I don't know if that qualifies as a sports film, but I'll put it in there.
I don't know why I'm acting like I didn't look at some of that issue. I saw it on TV. There's a volleyball player that's on there.
See, I haven't seen that yet.
Whoa.
I've just seen the pictures that have crossed on Twitter. All right, we'll get a quick timeout. There you go. There's some of the stories of the day, the good, the bad, and the ugly from a busy weekend. Looking forward to a fun week, which will include the Rangers at the Indians this week. That should be a fun series in Cleveland, so we'll preview some of the week. And, of course, the National Championship Series, which starts tonight with LSU in Florida. Quick timeout. We're back. BK leads us through the hot or not topics of the day. We'll also reset your headlines at the top of the hour. Jordan Spieth's dramatic win yesterday in Connecticut. We'll get you all the details. Let you hear from the former Longhorn. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hot is the week. How about Bucky's birthday coming up Thursday? Be listening and tell you you can be a part of Bucky's birthday party this Thursday. That's
how
right.
How you doing that, man? You haven't said how you even doing that. You got something planned on getting people here? It's Monday. Thursday will be here quick.
How many people think we're bringing in? We've already got
50 people, right?
No. 10, 12 people.
That's it? Just special guests?
Listeners, of our favorite listeners. We've already hand-selected a few that are going to be here.
Oh, yeah, you got that lady that's coming in.
Well, yeah, she asked them, the one that won our major golf competition, the U.S. Open.
First ever to win.
She asked if she comes, said sure.
How much are we giving her?
I mean, what is she? What has she done lately?
Big
lady, whatever her name is. What has she done lately?
Big that lady. No, yeah. She'll be here. No, we're selecting... We want the right people at your
birthday. Bringing her friends.
We told Blind Sean he can come if he can find us, and he'll be here. We're excited about that. It's gonna be fun. Wayne Miller's bringing great barbecue from Louis Miller's barbecue. That lady's gonna make you a cake.
Oh yeah, the cake maker. The cake. Charlie Strong coming?
No, Charlie Strong. I don't think he's gonna come. I don't think he'll be here, but he's invited. Charlie Strong would always be invited to your birthday party. That'll be Thursday. We'll get you more details on that as the week. Rolls through. Also, before we get to BK hot or not, let me give you one hot.
Okay.
In addition to the Astros being 29-9 on the road this season, which is pretty ridiculous, I just finished up another 6-1 homestand. What is not hot is this dude. How about this? A guy named Derek Roseland was wanted for aggravated kidnapping. Austin police couldn't find him. Then he and a buddy were going to go to an Iron Maiden concert in San Antonio. So they posted a picture of the tickets on social media. So, of course, the police just said, oh, okay. So they went right to those two seats at the Iron Maiden concert and arrested the dude.
They didn't let him see the show?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
So if you're wanted by police, you probably shouldn't be posting ideas of your possible location on social media.
Oh, my goodness. What a dope.
They went right to his seats.
That's why you're a criminal, you dope.
And look at him. He's got a neck tattoo.
Ugh.
That is a full neck tattoo.
My goodness.
On that dude.
I want to see that dude right there. Look at those fake earrings.
All right, BK, what do you have hot or not?
All right, guys, National Chocolate Pudding Day. Does that
I love pudding pops. No, seriously, Bill?
National Chocolate Pudding Day?
No. I just wanted that reaction from the Buck. I knew that was
Guess
good.
What? That dude got off, too. I mean, seriously.
They're coming
got
back
off.
After him, right? It was just two
he's
jurors.
He's going to get off again.
What do you mean? It's a mistrial. They're going to retry that case.
No, they're... That's America's dad. You can't do that. You can't bring it back to him. Hey.
We also can't
love those pudding pops.
We also can't drug and rape people.
I know. How did he get off? How did that happen?
Two jurors.
Money.
I don't know if he's paying the jurors, but good lawyers, I guess. You got to have 12 people unanimous. Two weren't. Held up. 10 people ready to convict.
They're coming back again though.
What's that?
They're coming back again for Uncle Bill.
Well, I mean, it's up to the prosecution, but they probably will. No guarantee, but I think they'll pursue that. What else, BK? What do you have?
All right, guys. Jordan Spieth over the weekend getting it done, becoming the second golfer to win 10 PGA Tour events before his 24th birthday, of course, joining Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger had five more at 15, but we've all been looking for the next Tiger. Now, I know people, nobody thinks Jordan Spieth is going to be Tiger. I don't know if we'll ever see a Tiger like Tiger again. But can Jordan Spieth be the guy to save golf? We've kind of been looking for somebody to step up and be the next face of the game. With Tiger out of it and Phil not participating in the U.S. Open, it just kind of seems like a lag in big-time guys right now. So can Jordan Spieth be the guy for golf moving
forward? Well, if I think he's going to win four more Masters, I think he is that guy. I really do. And he's got that kind of attitude. He's buddy-buddy, but he's got a little dog in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's ultra competitive.
Yeah, he's got a lot of dog in him. He's not like those other guys. They go bunk up when they come into town and bring their girlfriends with them. Jordan Spieth's not like that. He's not a bunk buddy. He's not one of those guys.
Well, he is friends with the Justin Thomases and the
he's just
Ricky
friends
Fowlers
with them, but he's
the
not
world.
Bunk buddies. I mean, they go to places together, but he's got a lot. I like him because he's got some dog in him. Well, like too many cats out there playing right now.
Yeah,
we got a lot of cats playing golf.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
That's right.
Like Ricky Fowler's now got the pole vaulter girlfriend, so he's probably not going to be hanging out with the boys much anymore.
He's a kitty cat. Bubba Watson's a kitty cat. They're all little kitty cats.
Well, look, I mean, to answer the question, there'll never be another. That's kind of like the Beatles. There'll never be another Michael Jordan Beatles. Tiger Woods was a phenomenon. I don't think there's any question about that. But Jordan Spieth's the closest thing to it. What you would like to see, as we said before, is rivalries. We'd like to see Jordan Spieth and a Dustin Johnson, or Jordan Spieth and a Jason Day. And these guys really step out and start to play Rory McIlroy. Gosh, wouldn't it be great to see Rory get back on track? You see Rory, he played in that tournament this weekend. He used three different putters over three different days. Rory McIlroy played in that same tournament, and he had a different putter each day. Like, this guy is so in his own head on the greens right now.
Oh, and he got married, so things are going.
Yeah. So
things
we'll
are different for him.
I mean, those are the young guns, you know, need to step forward. We need some rivalries in golf. We need to see these young guys consistently at the top of these leaderboards playing in major championships.
Don't need Jordan Spieth getting married anytime soon.
Well, if he does.
That'll slow him down. That'll slow down that train.
Maybe
it just does.
Maybe
it's just a natural thing.
Maybe
it's just a natural thing. It just slows the train down a little bit. It's not a big deal.
Well, Tiger got married. It didn't slow him down.
Oh, it's made him speed up. He just started to speed up.
In any realm.
No.
He kept winning.
Became a doctor and everything. Tiger Woods had it going on once he got married.
It says, did he put Roofy in the Jell-O pudding pops? See, that's not very nice.
It's a National Jell-O Pudding Day today.
No.
Was you ever pudding fanny? Did you like pudding? I never had any of that stuff.
I used to make my own pudding when I was a kid. It was so easy to make because you get that
Seriously?
Jell-O pudding out, put them mix it together, and make my own pudding.
Oh, I couldn't eat that stuff. That stuff looked like mud. The chocolate one?
Chocolate pudding?
I never had chocolate pudding, man. I just put my tongue on it, and that was it for me.
You didn't like pudding? I didn't like pudding. Come in those little cups, you pull the thing back.
I had some Jell-O before.
Well, Jell-O's good,
you like
too.
Like them snack packs?
Every time you went to the hospital, you got Jell-O. They'd come out with that thing and be like...
I'm sure you get it at Luby's right now.
And you get it at Luby's, and I used to get it at the Catholic school, yes. Lunch Lady Arms just observed
that. I don't know what the fleshlight feels like.
So when you see the... when you get to Luby's, which color do you grab?
The green?
Sorry. I like yellow.
Do you really? I do. I go right for the green. Swish around my mouth.
I think Jordan Spieth is engaged, Buck.
Yeah, he's been dating the same girl since like high school, man.
Yeah, man.
She doesn't go to the events. She tries to stay out of the limelight.
We'll hear from Jordan Spieth coming up. Also, if you missed the dramatic playoff hole, we'll let you and get you the highlights of that. Major League Baseball weekend, we'll reset it. Preview that College World Series championship that's about to get underway tonight. Tom Herman adds one and loses one on the recruiting trail, both at the same position. We'll get you details on all those. Thank you to BK for the hot or not. We'll keep that rolling. We'll roll back with the headlines, the good, the bad, and the ugly from your busy weekend. Happy Monday to you. 26 June here on The Horn. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.